Greetings, Minazis. I hope you're all doing great tonight. This is the best current year ever on Radio Aryan. I am your host, Fascist Lemming. Thanks for tuning in with me. We have a very, very fun episode today. I can't wait to go over all this stuff with you. I have several things to talk about. I'll be talking about David Duke. I'll be talking about Lil Wayne, George H.W. Bush, Don Jr. Also, we'll be discussing Sheldon Adelson, the Stormer Troll Army, my favorite group of people on the whole planet, and Jill Holloway, and other subjects. So we're just going to dive right in. So I have accomplished one of my greatest achievements so far in my online activism. I'm really proud of myself, and I might come off as braggadocious, but I'm just really excited that I made this thing happen. So here's some backstory for those of y'all who don't watch my YouTube videos. It was Saturday night, I was just hanging out, watching YouTube, and I came across an interview with Lil Wayne on a sports show called Undisputed, and he was interviewed by Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, and they asked him about Colin Kaepernick and what he thought about that, and Lil Wayne basically said he doesn't really care. And then he went on to say that racism doesn't exist, that he's never experienced racism before. And I thought that was really cool, so I uploaded the video to my YouTube channel just because I did not expect that. It was such a repudiation of Black Lives Matter.
You are listening to the best current year ever with Fascist Levin.
What's your reaction to Kaepernick's protests?
Going right back again to this man. It's a man and his decisions, man. Respect the man and his decision. That's all I can do. I have no opinion on it because the things that's, I'm not into it enough to even give an opinion. So when he did it, I really didn't even know what. Somebody had to tell me why he was doing it. That's how much I didn't know what was going on. And I kind of still don't. So somebody had to explain to me, like, yo, he's kneeling because of the Black Lives Matter thing and because of and all that wave or whatever, that whole wave just went by me too fast for me even try to even give an opinion. So I just was like, oh, okay. That's what's happening.
So you're a deep thinker in these issues. Mm-hmm. So step back from all of it. I know this is a very broad question, but where are we in the United States of America in race relations and what you see from day to day in your life?
Skip, they wouldn't want to ask me that. They wouldn't want my answer to represent it because God knows I have been nothing but blessed. My whole path, these 33 years have been nothing but a blessing. I have never, and never is a strong word, I've never dealt with racism, and I'm glad I didn't have to. And I don't know if it's because of my blessings. I don't know if it's, but it is my reality. So I would have to say, not only did I thought it was over, I still believe it's over, but obviously it isn't.
So you've never experienced any offensive behavior from any other color or?
No, sir.
Wow.
You are listening to Radio Aryan.
He could have just as easily, like all these other black football players following in Colin Kaepernick's footsteps. He could have just as easily played along with the narrative like, oh, I've experienced so much racism. Because honestly, let's face it, he's Lil Wayne. He's been a public figure almost his whole life. It's very hard to believe that no one's ever called him a nigger. Or, just anything that he could have latched on is like a microaggression and harped on that. And he even was saying in the interview he knew that he would get pushback for what he was saying, but he flat out said racism doesn't exist. Which, of course, it does. It exists against white people. And I mean, it exists against there's racism. But the whole point is that it's very interesting that he said that racism doesn't exist. He's like a black icon. And he's not getting on board with Black Lives Matter, which is good and surprising since it seems like right now Black Lives Matter, they're like gods that must be supported at all costs. They're allowed to block highways and, kill cops and all this stuff. And the media still promotes them. You know, our Muslim president still supports them. All the Hollywood actors, you know, the kite puppets, they support Black Lives Matter. But not Lil Wayne, so that was very interesting. So the thought occurred to me, like, hey, what if David Duke talked about this on his radio show? Because the media is monitoring his show. You know, just think earlier this year when he said, you know, if you don't vote for Donald Trump, you're basically screwing over your people. And the media blew up on that. And sure, I know that Lil Wayne isn't Donald Trump, so it's not going to get quite as much attention. But I just had this fun thought to myself, like, that would be so hilarious if David Duke got on his show and praised Lil Wayne for what he said, for, you know, not going along with the Black Lives Matter anti-white narrative. And what if the media latched onto that and it got traction and they all freaked out? And the next thing you know, Lil Wayne's on, like, Face the Nation with Chuck Todd, or he's on CNN with Jake Tapper, and they're asking him about David Duke. What do you think of David Duke? And since Lil Wayne lives in Louisiana, what if they even asked him, do you plan on voting for David Duke? And hey, as far as I can tell, Lil Wayne will be voting for David Duke because he's not going along with the Black Lives Matter narrative. That's just a joke, by the way. It's a really funny joke. The idea of Lil Wayne voting for David Duke, that's hilarious, and you know it, and I know it. Everybody knows it. So the next day, I contacted Andrew Anglin on Skype and told him, like, hey, I have this idea. You know, we can generate some publicity for David Duke. Use Lil Wayne. You know, they're both from Louisiana and everything I've just described. And Anglin agreed with me. So on Monday, he did a show with David Duke, and they actually wound up talking about Lil Wayne. And Anglin posted the radio show to Daily Stormer, and in the post he says, thanks to Fascist Lemming for advising me to bring up Lil Wayne on Duke's show. He thought it would get in the media, and it did. And it did. And I appreciate you giving me the credit. I mean, I'm just so proud of myself. I hate to be bragging, but I'm so proud of myself. So, this afternoon, when I was on my lunch break from my full-time job, I looked up on Google Lil Wayne, David Duke, on the news section, and I got it. I succeeded. We have this headline from Mediaite. Former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke is latest to praise Lil Wayne over racism comments. Dude, you can believe when I saw this. Of course, the first thing I did was show Andrew and thanked David Duke for, you know, for them talking about it, for them agreeing with me that this was a good idea. And the article itself on Mediaite's not very interesting. They just point out a tweet from David Duke this morning. By the way, for me, it's Tuesday, September 20th. You're listening to this on Wednesday, September 21st. So keep that in mind. But yeah, this morning, David Duke tweeted a picture of Lil Wayne. And it was a preview for his radio show today. And the tweet reads, Dr. David Duke and Don Advo salute Lil Wayne for honestly proclaiming that no racism exists against black people. Oh, it's such a good tweet, man. David Duke has been so on point with his tweets lately. So, you know, besides pointing out the tweet, the article's just like, wow, that's weird. Look what David Duke did. And they didn't really, like, have anything to say or anything hysterical to say. But that doesn't matter. The article itself got 91 comments, and I'm not really familiar with Mediaite, so I had to look it up just to see how much impact this article being published might have, and like how proud of myself should I be for causing this article to exist. Without my insight, this article would not exist. So, okay, I think I'm done bragging. So here's what Wikipedia says about Mediaite. Mediaite is a news and opinion blog covering politics and entertainment in the media industry. It is the flagship blog of Abrams Media, a ring of blogs run by ABC legal analyst Dan Abrams, and also featuring Gossip Cop, Geekosystem, Stylite, Sports Grid, and some others. Described by Abrams as for the media, about the media, and part of the new media, it features regular columns, an extensive video library, and the power grid that ranks media personalities by influence. Abrams currently serves as the site's publisher and launched the site in July 2009 with former editor Colby Hall. In an interview with the Washington Post, founding managing editor Colby Hall described the site as Huffington Post meets Gawker. In December 2000. So, Dan Abrams, I see that, obviously, my Judar is going crazy, my Jew senses are going crazy, obviously, Dan Abrams, and the name's familiar, too, so I look him up on Wiki, and I see the picture of him, and I'm like, oh, that guy, basically, and I've seen him on MSNBC and everything, and you'll see him when you look his name up, you'll recognize him, but on his Wikipedia, under the personal life section, interesting tidbit. Abrams' sister, Ronnie Abrams, was nominated for a federal judgeship by Barack Obama in 2011. So, how big is Mediaite? Well, it has 118,000 Twitter followers and 199,400 Facebook likes. That's pretty good. I have to say that's pretty good. And according to their similar web stats, their global rank is 5,497, and their rank in the United States is 1,491. So that's pretty popular website, I'd have to say. So I'm proud of myself. Got David Duke some free publicity. And honestly, Mediaite seems to be obsessed with David Duke, because when I've been looking up David Duke under the news tag on Google over the last few weeks, it seems like Mediaite always has something to say. And maybe it's because it's run by this Jew, Dan Abrams, whose Jewish sister was appointed as a federal judge by Barack Obama, and he works for MSNBC. So he's probably tightly locked into the Democrat Party, so he wants to, you know, get any chance to tie David Duke to Trump, of course, even though that obviously doesn't work, and maybe even helps Trump for all we know. And maybe just out of his own Jewishness, he can't help but be obsessed with David Duke, like a lot of these media Jews are, you know, like Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, Chuck Todd. And so, to wrap things up with this David Duke, Lil Wayne story, he did talk about it with Don Advo on his show today, but I missed the show live, and it wasn't uploaded to Rants Radio, so I have not heard it. But apparently they talked about certain hip-hop artists who have contradicted the media-created narrative for the black community. Professor Griff from Public Enemy last year publicly supported Dr. Duke's criticism of Nicki Minaj, while rapper Lil Wayne has come out and contradicted the Black Lives Matter claim of massive white racism against blacks. I really wish that show could have been uploaded, but it wasn't, so I'm just really glad that my plan worked. You know, I was just hanging out, watching a Lil Wayne interview. I don't even remember how I came across this interview. But as soon as I was done watching it, I knew that there was a potential to get David Duke some media coverage if he were to talk about this. So, good times. Best current year ever, guys. So, let's move on. Next article we have is from Daily Stormer. George H.W. Bush is voting for Hillary. And this is from England. George H.W. Bush, the terrorist father of the terrorist George W. Bush, is voting for Hillary Clinton, the terrorist wife of the terrorist Bill Clinton, who beat him in a presidential election when he was the incumbent, according to a Facebook post from JFK's niece, Democratic operative Kathleen Hardington. And her tweet reads, "The president says he's voting for Hillary." Isn't that amazing? This guy lost an election to Bill Clinton, and now he's going to be voting for Bill Clinton's wife against Donald Trump, when supposedly Hillary is supposed to be the big liberal devil that the true cons, the true conservatives, are supposed to be opposed to. But they actually hate Trump more, especially a globalist like George H.W. Bush. A total subordinate to the kikes, definitely. His whole life is dedicated to serving, you know, Jewish interests. And that's why I love Trump's campaign so much, because he has forced these people into a position to show their true colors to an obnoxious degree. I mean, you would think this guy would just shut his mouth and not say anything, because you know she didn't just tweet that without, or yeah, she didn't just tweet that without his permission. You know, he wanted the world to know that he's voting for Hillary. He's a never Trumper. He's 92. He needs to die. I guess he's raped so many little kids that he's gonna live forever. No, I'm just kidding. That's kind of a messed up joke. But it's just amazing. They want Hillary in. Trump is opposed to endless wars for Israel and for the Jews. He's opposed to us losing all of our jobs, which we've pretty much already lost all of them. And he's opposed to massive, muddy immigration. He doesn't want the mudvasion. He doesn't want us to fight in Syria. And he doesn't want all of our jobs to be in China and Mexico and Vietnam. So they hate him. And it's so obvious they hate him. They don't support him whatsoever. And I'm just really glad he's forced them into this position. So let's move on. Next article from the Daily Stormer. Jew media deplores Trump Jr.'s Holocaust of Skittles. And I have a clip from Chris Cuomo at CNN. Let's check it out.
This Skittles comment that Donald Jr. made, if you want to put up his comment, you can. He said, if I gave you a handful of Skittles and I told you that three of them were going to kill you, would you eat that handful of Skittles? Well, that's a powerful metaphor. The problem is it's also BS. The numbers aren't anything like that. The risk is like 1 in over 3 billion. The Washington Post wrote a piece about this. You would need 2 Olympic-sized swimming pools filled with Skittles to find 3 bad ones in it, and that being the right ratio. You're dehumanizing these refugees. That's not what America's about. And your extreme vetting means what at the end of the day? How would you make it better than now, except keeping everyone out, which is not what this country's about?
But when you look at hot regions of the world, and you look at the failures, I mean, so first of all, you said, we want to bring in refugees, but we've had migrants, we had 2 migrants that did the attacks this weekend. So you had someone from Afghanistan in New York, and someone from Somalia, in Minnesota. So I think people see the connection of bringing folks in from hot regions. I think it makes sense to take a pause. And the question becomes, if I can't guarantee that you're going to want to live the American dream and you're not going to hurt my citizens, why do I let you in?
Very interesting stuff. Very interesting defense from Chris Cuomo about how you need to fill up 2 pools to get the 3 poisonous Skittles. But you see, that's the thing. We're not just talking about terrorist attacks. We're talking about the rapes and the drug dealing and, you know, ruining our communities and making them trashy and supporting, you know, crazy non-white, non-Western behaviors like stoning women to death and throwing gay people off the top of a building. This kind of thing, that's not what we're into. You know, say what you want about gays. We're not into throwing them off the top of buildings. And, you know, we're not into child rape and, you know, child marriages and Rotherham, like rape gangs and all this stuff. So when you factor all that in, you probably don't need to fill up 2 pools. You could probably just have a handful of Skittles and 3 of them are going to be poisoned. So there are some interesting articles about this Don Jr. tweet from the Jewish Daily Forward. The first one, headline reads, Donald Trump Jr. emerges as alt-right hero even as dad tones down rhetoric. You know, I agree with that headline. Donald Trump has been toning it down ever since he got Steve Bannon. I can't stand it. All his rallies, he has a teleprompter. I don't even watch his rallies anymore. I used to give you like 15 to 20 minutes of Trump footage a day. But as soon as Bannon got on board and he started reading off of teleprompters exclusively, I lost interest. Thankfully, you know, his interviews are unscripted, so we can still watch those. But yeah, I almost kind of miss Paul Manafort, because at least when he was around, he was unscripted. So the article says, Donald Trump has seemingly tried to tone down his more outrageous comments, the kind that have made him a darling of the neo-white supremacists who call themselves the alt-right. Neo-white supremacists. I've never heard that one before. That's a new one. You know, neo-Nazis is worn out. White supremacists is worn out. So now they're just going to add neo in front of white supremacists. Wow, we have a fresh new word. Man, these Jews, they're so clever with their high verbal IQ. Neo-white supremacist. But at the same time, Donald Trump Jr. has stepped up to the plate, directly appealing to the fringe right online and in interviews. Analyzing Trump Jr.'s shift in The Atlantic, the writer David A. Graham said it's not clear if he is reflecting his own beliefs or simply seeking to fill a political void. And here's what Graham writes. The outstanding question now is whether Trump Jr. is a true believer in white genocide or is simply playing one for cynical political purposes, letting the internet's committed racists know that even if Trump moderates his rhetoric, he still wants their votes. And that quote just reminds me of something that Don Black says a lot. Trump has been inspired by his supporters. And who knows? I mean, Don Jr.'s done several things that are interesting. And the article continues on this point. But the Skittles tweet isn't the only time Trump Jr. has signaled to the far right in the past 24 hours. He also recently shared an article from Breitbart, a right-wing website, with the headline, Western women will be sacrificed at the altar of mass migration. That is so awesome that Don Jr. tweeted that. And in my opinion, I think he tweeted that because he believes in it and he agrees with it. Yes, Western, aka white women, will be sacrificed at the altar of mass migration. Very true. The Breitbart story declares that the Western world is dominated by leaders who despise its history, who wish to extinguish Western culture, and opening the borders is a hell of a good start. The language of the article and the tone of Trump Jr.'s meme echo earlier statements from his father. So yeah, it's good times. You know, thanks to Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr., we have white genocide being mentioned in the media. Also, thanks to Hill Dog for her alt-right speech, also giving light to the term white genocide. Because yes, there is white genocide. How do I know there's a white genocide? I don't know. Open borders in all white nations and only white nations. Race mixing, propaganda, forced assimilation and integration. And it's all exclusive to whites. It's so obvious that white genocide is a real thing. So yeah, the older Trump has suggested that President Barack Obama supports terrorists and has also retweeted writers who claim America is experiencing a white genocide. The white nationalist belief that intermarriage and immigration are leading to the genocide of white people. Of course, you know, they put white genocide in scare quotes. You know, even though their whole lives are dedicated to making us feel guilty about their non-existent Holocaust genocide. But when we want to talk about the real genocide happening to us, they want to pretend that it never happened. See, isn't that funny how that works out? They want us to believe in their fake genocide. And then they don't want anyone to believe in our real genocide. So yeah, these Jews couldn't stop with just that one article on the Jewish Daily Forward, you know, pointing out all the obvious stuff that shows that Don Jr. is appealing to, you know, neo-Nazi white supremacists, far-right, you know, right-wing death squads. They had to write another article to brag about, you know, their own Jewishness, and the headline reads, Five Jewish Things About Skittles That Donald Trump Jr. May Not Know. And I actually would not have even covered this article, but I had a commenter send me a message saying, hey man, what do you think about the kosher scam? And I said, I don't really have anything to add to it. If it comes up in the news, I'll talk about it. And sure enough, it has come up in the news. So out of these five Jewish things about Skittles that Donald Trump Jr. may not know, the fifth one says, although the Skittles sold in Israel are kosher, several campaigns have been launched to make Skittles kosher in America as well. So how about that? American Skittles are anti-Semitic. Jews can't eat them. And these Jews are outraged. Or they were, because a few years ago they posted a petition on change.org. Mars Incorporated, make Skittles kosher. Thousands of observant Jewish children and adults around the globe are deprived of the opportunity to eat this delicious candy. The truth is that it would be relatively easy to make Skittles kosher since they no longer contain gelatin. Indeed, Skittles used to be kosher in the UK, meaning that there is already a market-tested formula which could easily be put into use. And then they go on and on. They're obsessed. They want Skittles to be kosher. And, you know, they have their little, you know, their camouflage. Oh, it's for religious reasons, Gwilym. You know, if it's not kosher, we can't eat it. But we know there's a huge kosher scam. Like, I've heard of us having kosher vacuums and just, like, total nonsense. So that's why I covered this article, because they mentioned that. And I'm just going to read what the commenter said to me about the kosher scam, because I think he said it nicely. So we're just going to read what Mr. Paul Metcalf 1 said to me. He says, "I'd like to hear your spin on the kosher extortion racket and tax on groceries, which amounts to a multi-billion dollar scam imposed on the mostly non-Jewish consumers unwittingly forced to support Israel every time they go grocery shopping. The kosher racket is so prevalent and pervasive, it's impossible to boycott. If food producers and packaging companies don't play ball with the Union of Orthodox Rabbinical Congregation and pay the exorbitant fee for rabbinical services passed off on consumers, their brand name product could wind up tainted with weapons-grade E. coli, listeria, or salmonella, which would never be blamed on the kosherization rabbis any more than 9/11 would be connected to Larry Silverstein. Doesn't it piss you off that you pay more for your ketchup, mustard, aluminum foil, and sandwich bags, etc., for the benefit of having some squat, ugly rabbi prance around the food packaging plant, rubbing his hairy hands together under his gigantic nose, casting Talmudic curses on our food? Small wonder our food is no longer healthy." Damn kosher tax, that's all right. You know, that's one of those things we can't really do anything about. We can't really do anything effectively until we foster white identity amongst our people and get rid of this white guilt bullcrap. That's the first step before we do anything else. And, you know, we have to let white people know it's okay to be proud of yourself and proud of your history, proud of your heritage, proud of the fact that you have great IQ and crime rate statistics, proud of your creative streak, you know, because we invented everything, basically, everything that matters. So, next article from the Jewish Daily Forward. This article proves that Donald Trump is a total Jewish puppet, with the headline reading, "Sheldon Adelson snubs Donald Trump with $5 million donation, far cry from $100 million promise." Republican megadonor Sheldon Adelson finally opened his checkbook and began to sign checks to Republicans. The good news for Donald Trump? One of them has his name on it. The bad news? It's only $5 million. As first reported by CNN, Sheldon Adelson has recently made a sizable campaign donation reaching $45 million and directed mainly at the GOP's effort to keep control of the Congress. And further down in the article, it reads, "In 2012, according to available federal filings, Adelson gave most of his donations, which topped $100 million, to presidential candidate Mitt Romney. Together with his wife Miriam, Adelson spent $20 million on primary candidate Newt Gingrich, but then moved on to back Romney, with more than $50 million given to super PACs supporting the Republican candidate. Congressional races got only $10 million from Adelson in 2012. So yes, Donald Trump, the Jew puppet, causes Jews to act the opposite of the way they act when dealing with, you know, another Jewish puppet, a real Jewish puppet, Mitt Romney. He gave Mitt Romney $100 million and didn't even care about, you know, the Congress and the Senate. But with Donald Trump, it's different. He only gets $5 million. He promised him $100 million earlier this year. And I guess, you know, I've heard some people say that the $100 million was meant to be a deal to make sure that he made Newt Gingrich his vice president. That didn't happen. And so who knows if that's true or not, but that definitely didn't happen. And according to this, you know, his first choice is Newt Gingrich in the 2012 campaign. So it does seem plausible that maybe he was jilted by Trump because Trump didn't want Gingrich as a VP. And so now he's acting like all these other establishment globalist Jews that hate Donald Trump as well. And the article continues. The mega donor's decision to focus now on down ballot races reflects a trend among Jewish Republican donors, many of whom feel uncomfortable with Trump's candidacy. These donors have chosen to give primarily, or in some cases exclusively, to supporting the GOP's effort to maintain control of both chambers of Congress. Early on in the race, Adelson reached out to fellow Jewish donors asking them to back Trump, but his plea was largely ignored. You know why they were ignored? Because Trump is clearly a Jewish puppet. That's why. I mean, when you're a Jewish puppet, you know, all the Republican Jews don't fund you, and then all the left-wing Jews hysterically hate you and attack you in the media 24/7. That makes total sense. You know, I don't even think a lot of people think Trump is a Jewish puppet anymore. You used to hear that a lot early on, but now not so much. I mean, it's demonstrably obvious that these Jews are not huge fans of Trump. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry. I didn't tell them to hate Trump and not fund him and to dedicate their whole media apparatus to attacking him. They did that without me telling them to. And it's obvious they do attack him from every angle you can possibly imagine. It's amazing how they just trash him in the media on every channel. It never ends. So these last three articles I'm about to cover might give us a glimpse into why these Jews are not so eager to support our glorious leader, President Trump, with this headline from the Jewish Daily Forward. Trump's trolls ambush New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman over probe. State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is being trolled by anti-Semitic Donald Trump supporters again. Schneiderman, a Democrat, has found himself on the receiving end of anti-Semitic social media attacks following the announcement that his office is now investigating the Donald J. Trump Foundation, the New York Daily News reported. Of course you're receiving attacks from us for that, because it's ridiculous. As the Twitterer at the next Getty Lee tweeted, Eric Schneiderman is just another lying kike grasping at straws. And that's why we attack you, because it's so annoying. Like the Never Trumpers, you know, this Trump University crap that Eric Schneiderman's also involved with. You're grasping at straws. No one supporting Trump cares about this crap, and you're just being a Jew. You're trying to Jew us over. You're trying to Jew us out of our wall. You're trying to Jew us out of deporting them all. What is your problem? Why don't you want us to have a majority white country? Oh, I know why. Because you'll wind up in fake gas chamber showers, basically, and you're scared of that. So you basically do everything you can to stop it, and you're going to fail. That's the best part. But the article continues, another played the witty punster, and this is from Joseph12XU. More like New York Attorney General, am I right? I mean, that is funny how New York rhymes with New York, and then also New York City, like literally is the Jewish headquarters. It's also like kind of how like New World Order rhymes with the Jew World Order, and it is a Jew World Order. It's funny how Keck works in mysterious ways, guys. And so the article finishes. Schneiderman also brought a $40 million lawsuit against Trump University this summer, calling the school a fraud from beginning to end, which prompted similar targeted remarks online. So that's so funny. They don't have anything on Trump. Trump's been a public figure his whole life. They don't have a damn thing on him. All they can come up with is his foundation. And they only did that as a response to the Clinton Foundation. So it's a fake response. They're just trying to deflect from the whole scandal with the Clinton Foundation. So, you know, But maybe Sheldon Adelson doesn't want to give him $100 million because Twitter is swarming with anti-Semitic neo-Nazi white supremacists who love Trump and support Trump, and we know he's going to win, and we know he's going to build that wall. He's going to give us our jobs back, and he's going to keep us from going to World War III with Russia in order to protect ISIS. Next article. Transparent creator Jill Soloway calls Donald Trump inheritor of Hitler at Emmys. And here's the clip. Enjoy. Enjoy. It's so funny. I love this.
So Jews were otherized in Nazi Germany to gain political power for Hitler, and right now Donald Trump is doing the same thing. He's otherizing people. He calls women pigs if they don't look like beauty pageant contestants. He blames Muslims and Mexicans for our problems. He makes fun of disabled people. This is otherizing with a capital O. It has been used in our history before to start and win wars. And he needs to be called out at every chance he gets for being one of the most dangerous monsters to ever approach our lifetimes. He's a complete dangerous monster, and any moment that I have to call Trump out for being an inheritor to Hitler, I will.
So, none of us have heard of this hysterical Jewess, Jill Soloway. Thankfully, this Jewish Daily Forward article provides a little background. It says, Soloway, who is Jewish, won an Emmy for Best Directing for a comedy series. Her show, called Transparent, is based on Soloway's father, who came out as transgender and has been called the Jewiest show ever. Really? A TV show about a father coming out as a tranny is the Jewiest show ever? Sounds about right, honestly. I have to say that's exactly right. During season 2, Transparent had several flashbacks to Nazi Germany. Backstage, Soloway called the Holocaust-related storyline incredible, incredibly timely given our current political climate. Jewiest TV show ever. Nazi Holocaust storylines and your dad's a tranny. Yeah, that is the Jewiest show ever. No wonder she's so hysterical about Donald Trump. Oh, it's amazing. I love the fact that these Jews hate Trump. Thank you so much. They could have been slick. They could have tried to play along, but no, they can't help themselves. So, this last article is kind of triggering, but it's kind of funny. The headline is priceless. It's on the Jewish Daily Forward. This is like the funniest headline I've seen since I've been doing these daily fash updates. So the headline reads, when your husband gets called a filthy kike on Twitter. Oh, man. See, this is when you have to give the edgelords some credit. You know, sometimes it feels like they go overboard, but then you get a headline like this, and so you have to show appreciation for the edgelords. So, and this is written by the non-Jewish wife of a Jew who works for Politico. And she writes, it was bracing to learn on Monday that my husband, Glenn Thrush, had been called a filthy kike on Twitter. He is the chief political correspondent for Politico, and his run-in with the alt-right American fascist movement stemmed from a roundtable with academics, of all things. Of all things, wow, academics triggering pro-whites against Jews. I've never heard of a Noel Ignatiev or what the chick who said that whites are the cancer of history. Damn, what was her name? I'm glad I don't remember her kike-ass name. She's worthless anyway. She has my oven on preheat. A lot of these Jewish academics are the most hardcore anti-whites. It's like they're as hardcore as we are, but on the other end of things. His editor, Susan Glasner, convened a half dozen experts for a feature in Politico, a Q&A discussion of the declines in life expectancy and income that whites without college educations have seen in the last decade or so. Wow, half dozen experts talking about the declines in life expectancy and income in whites who don't go to college. wow, guys, I bet they were talking about it constructively. I bet they were asking themselves, what can we do to increase the life expectancy of whites and increase their income? I guarantee it. There's no way it was a destructive conversation. No way. So, Deplorable Goyim, who is at that ex-liberal, he tweets to Glenn Thrush and Politico, I read your white bashing article. The gig's up, you filthy kike. The Goyim know everything, and that's exactly right. We know everything. We have the internet now. Game over. It's over. You're done. The internet's never going away. We're never gonna forget. If you think the internet's gonna go away, let me remind you of plumbing. Toilets, they got invented. Never going away. Cars got invented. We still have cars. Some people have this feeling that internet's gonna go away for some reason magically, even though everything else that's been invented is still around. Look, the internet's never going anywhere. When the internet came into being, when it came of age, these Jews stopped being able to sleep at night. They can't handle social media. They can't handle literally everything getting live coverage from everybody. You know, they used to just have ABC, NBC, CBS. They could control the information. Those days are over. They're screwed. You know, just like they couldn't keep themselves from getting kicked out 109 times before, they're not going to be able to keep themselves from getting kicked out the 110th time. And this time, we're not going to forget. We're not going to let time pass by and then they slip back into our societies strictly because we have the internet. It's never going away. We're never going to forget. And they know it. That's why they want to shut it down. That's all they want to do is shut it down. I've been shut down. You've been shut down. We've all been shut down. But it doesn't matter. Because the internet is resilient. We can just keep coming back. They can shut me down here. Next thing you know, I'm over here doing the same thing. They shut down my other channel. This channel's on its way to being as big or bigger than my first channel. They can't do anything. They're screwed. Okay? So, continuing. The article itself is about what you might expect from a cadre of economists, historians, and the stray memoirist. Measured, deliberate, thoughtful. See, I don't know. I feel like this chick is a Jew pretending to be Catholic because of that statement. It's what you might expect from a cadre of economists, historians, and the stray memoirist. Measured, deliberate, thoughtful. The stray memoirist? I don't know. Maybe I read the Jewish Daily Forward too much. I just feel like that's something with Jews. I'm probably wrong. She's probably not a Jew. She's a Catholic. For some reason, Jews and Catholics get along really well. We all know why. There's a history behind that. But, you know, I'm always kind of skeptical, definitely. But the initial headline on the piece, What's Wrong with America's White People?, was a Twitter siren that quickly answered itself in part. A few of America's white people are angry, bitter, racist, anti-Semites who aren't ashamed to spew hate all over the internet. Oh, that is so cute. She mentions the headline, What's Wrong with America's White People? And then she says the question answers itself when we respond in anger. You know, they're talking about the decline in our life expectancy. And the title to something discussing that is called What's Wrong with America's White People? They would not treat non-whites this way. That's not how they would approach it. And we all know it. That's the double standard that we all, that drives us. That anti-white hypocrisy, that is what drives us to maybe someday, one way or the other, gas these kites and have a race war right now. Okay? And maybe I don't mean that literally, but maybe I do. Who knows? We're going to find out sooner or later, that's for sure. So Glasser and Thrush were called Jewish supremacists by Et Fash Nova, and two kikes pretending to be white by someone with the charming screen name Adolf Joe Biden. There's more, but you get the gist. Thrush tangled with some, let most slide, and reported the person who combed his podcast transcripts looking for the places he had mentioned his Jewishness. That's so funny. He only attacked the one person who was trying to highlight him you know, expressing his own Jewishness. It reminds me of the Goebbels quote about recoiling at being called a Jew. Except he's not recoiling at being called a Jew or a kike. He's recoiling at someone pointing out that he called himself a Jew. So that's like the deeper level of the Goebbels quote. Now, they don't like being called a Jew, but they don't like it being pointed out that they call themselves a Jew. That's interesting. So next tweet highlighted is from Deplorable or at WoeZip. And this is to at Glenn Thresh. It says, why do you write about what's wrong with white people pretending to be white? You aren't white. You're a Marxist kike. And then the full tweet from Adolf Joe Biden once again. What's wrong with America's white people? Written by two kikes pretending to be white. And see, that's the worst part, is that they do pretend to be white. That is the source of their power over us. Sure, the banking system is the source of their power. But if they didn't pass as white, they would have never been able to build this banking infrastructure that eventually led to this media monopoly, forcing us all into the pause and the diversity. So that about wraps that up with her. And that about wraps it up for me. I'm just going to go over some donations real quick, and we're going to call it a night. And hey, guys, about these donations, I seriously appreciate it. I mean, I can't believe you guys have supported me this much. Honestly, if I knew you guys were going to support me this much, I would have started shilling for donations like 5 or 6 months ago, man. I just can't even believe you guys like me so much. It's like that chick who won the Academy Award, and she was like, they like me. They really like me. That's kind of how I feel when I get a donation from you guys. So thanks for the support and the motivation. And that's why now I try to bring you a video every day, every other day, 5 days a week, the best I can do. So the first donation I received this time was from Larry. He gave me $24.88. Thank you so much, sir. Much appreciated. You are my greatest ally. My next one is from Lawrence, who gave me $50. Amazing. Thank you. So words can't express how I feel when I receive a donation that big. That's just absolutely out of control. I appreciate it, and I will put it to good use. I actually plan on buying a desktop because my laptop sucks. I've been having issues with cameras and loading times, and I'm starting to think it all has to do with my laptop and not the cameras. Anyway, next, Kyle gave me $14.88, and he left a note. You're doing great things for your country. Keep up the good work. Keep them kikes kvetching. Yes, sir, I will. Thank you so much for your support. I am going to keep it up. And last but definitely not least, Mr. Boat Sinker himself, who I often hear when I'm listening to Fashion Nation and Daily Show, and he donates to them as well. See, he's a good guy. He puts his money where his mouth is. He gave me $6.16, which is great. And he told me, thank you for always keeping it white. And Boat Seeker, I want to thank you for all the awesome artwork you provide us. My Twitter profile picture is taken from one of your drawings. A nice drawing of Pepe wearing a Daily Stormer baseball cap. So much appreciated. And guys, if you want to, if you can, please spare me some shekels. You can find me on PayPal, paypal.me/jlemington. I know I'm a horrible person for trying to shill for that. But if you feel so inclined, please feel free. I will appreciate it. And also, I didn't say it this time, but if you haven't already, please donate to David Duke, DukeForSenate.com. Check him out. So anyway, guys, thanks for the support so much. I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. We're going to close this out with one of my favorite tracks from Nero. And in the meantime, guys, no matter what you do in life, keep it white.